Thank you, Pastor Ken.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Welcome. Welcome to Every Nation Melbourne. And I bring greetings from Penang as well. All right, you heard Pastor Ken says that it's a food heaven. Yes, I'm going to show you some of the food. Doesn't make you hungry right now. When I show you the food, beside my family, Pastor Ken and Kara has the, you know, the heart and soul. They know what's Penang all about. All right, now we actually live in an island. All right, now you guys live in the bigger island. I live in the smaller island. All right, okay, all right. So I bring greetings from Penang, and that's where we are in this building. We are at the fifth floor. So this is the place that we in the sanctuary that we has. So bring greetings from Every Nation Penang as well. All right, I want to thank Pastor Ken, Kara, and leadership of church, Jay and Kelly as well. All right, for your kind invitation. In a sense, we also self-invite because we are here for Derek's graduation. All right, now this is Penang. That is what meant by char kway teow. That is noodle, fried noodle. And the other side, that is the durian, the king of fruits. I love durian. I'm sorry if you do not know what is it all about. All right, till you get to Penang. All right, now we walked around Melbourne City and we found durian, and that is about 30 Aussie per kilo. All right, in Malaysia, that's about 30 ringgit per kilo. That's about 10 ringgit per kilo. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, now more food. Okay, that's Penang. All right, that's Penang. All right, if you come by Penang, talk to your pastor first. All right, we'll welcome you to Penang. All right, now, this morning I want to bring a message to you, a message that I also preach in my home church, okay, to challenge our people, okay, to love God, press on, move forward, okay, of what God is doing, okay, in your life. Okay, so the title of the message is The Message. Okay, no, baby. The very reason that we are here, okay, so family, and some of you already, you knew David's, Derek, okay, Derek, his graduation, we are here. The last time we were here was 2016, was also his graduation. 2017 was David's graduation in Brisbane, in UQ. So I believe you have seen, okay, I'll introduce my wife, Mio, you have seen her, all right, Mio. Mio is her Chinese name. The Japanese will be Miyoki, alright? No, just kidding, alright now. Okay, my youngest is at the kids right now. That is Deborah, alright? You heard about David's proposal, okay. So, not yet, okay. Alright, Pastor Jay said, hold on, okay, you talk to them. Okay, alright, praise the Lord, right? Now, I have a message for all of us here. It's called The Message, because I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 5. And with that, I'm going to speak about the Church of Ephesus, alright? Now, as we read the book of Revelation, okay, Revelation is, there are many symbolic, okay, in the book of Revelation. Some of us wonder what's the book of Revelation. Now, the author of book of Revelation is none other than Apostle John, right? Apostle John. Now, Apostle John is the disciple that Jesus loved, and he was banished to an island called Patmos. I was banished in an island called Penang. Okay, so now, because Penang is not my hometown, okay, I studied there in my tertiary, and then I met my wife, got married, and three of them got born, okay, in Penang. All right. Now, how many of you like to be in an island? All right. But for Apostle John, it's not an island for him to go for holiday. In fact, it's a prison camp. It's a prison island, okay, for him. Now, with that, he received revelation and wrote down the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, now, Apostle John at that time was probably the last, no, not probably, he is the last remaining, okay, disciple of Jesus. All right, and with that, by saying that, that means all the rest will probably have died or been martyred. All right, now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, reading from verse 1 first, to the angel of the church, okay, of Ephesus, right. This thing says, he who holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. Now, this is a message given to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, when I read that, I was just wondering, wow, That means for us as a church, if you want to go symbolic in that sense, every church has an angel. So Pastor Ken, you have an angel. Alright. Anyone wants to try to be funny with your church or my church, we have an angel to take care of that. Alright now. And I came, I heard that there's Angelo, there's Angela, and then there's Angel. Alright, okay now. Now Jesus hold the seven star. That means when Jesus said, all authority I've given. Jesus has given us that authority and we must exercise that authority that God has given us. And all the more, Jesus said that he walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. God has placed us in the position and he walked among us. Amen. I'm good. Amen. All right. Now, so book of Revelation issued in chapter 2 and 3, issued to seven letters to seven churches. These are real churches, real people like you and I. All right. Now, so as I explore that, I'm going to look at the church of Ephesus. What happened to the church of Ephesus? All right. And by saying so, there was Apostle Paul who came to the city of Ephesus and he found a group of believers. Just as, I don't know, Pastor Ken probably was walking by New City of Melbourne and found a group of believers. Okay, let's do church. All right. Now, so as I read that, I also believe that as you discover church Ephesus, it's just like you and I. We love God. We worship Him. And what was the message, okay, given to the church of Ephesus? Now, how did the church of Ephesus came about? I will go to Acts chapter 19, okay, that will help us, all right? So the message to the angel of church of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19, that where you can find the package of the church of Ephesus. Are you okay with me? All right, now. So it says this, it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Paul was more concerned about whatever they are doing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened in Acts 2. And then the life of apostle came. They turned around in Acts chapter 9. All right, now. So he was concerned about, okay, whether they have received, okay, the power of the Holy Spirit. When they found out that the disciples says, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then you were baptized? They said, in John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who come after him, that is Jesus. When Apostle Paul heard that, he immediately, okay, let them lay hands on them and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there were only 12 men. I do not know how many people were there when the Church of Every Nation Melbourne started. Maybe 12. All right. And the apostle, okay, lay hands on them. And so this is one thing, okay, that Paul came and discovered them and to make sure that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because I was once wanting to know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't find the answer. So it took me 2 years before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Going around wanting to preach the gospel, I tell people about from Genesis to Revelation, and none of them came to know Christ until the day when the Holy Spirit came upon me. Okay, now, so talking about the church of Ephesus, all right, what happened, okay, to the church, okay, of Ephesus? Now, for Paul, in that sense, okay, this church, okay, is full, okay, of the Holy Spirit. And Paul went to speak in that synagogue and he spoke boldly for 3 months. Imagine, he spoke boldly for 3 months. How many of you will come to a place where you can preach the gospel for 3 months? All right, 3 months. But do everyone hear what you want to say? No, it happened to Paul as well. All right, so, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, and they departed from them, withdrew from disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, and continued for 2 years. Now, what happened in the church offices? They went on preaching the gospel. The Bible recorded all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. I was just looking at the Google trying to find out what's the population of city of Melbourne? Anyone? 4.4 million. The population of Australia? 25 million. So you have about 1/6 of population right here in Melbourne. It took them 2 years and they preached all those who dwell in Asia, there were about 300,000 people living in those days. All right, now moving forward, in Revelation chapter 2, this is what the angel recorded what the church of Ephesus has done. He said this: I know your works, your labor, your patience, you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And then he says, you have persevered, you have patience, you have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. How many of you like one day, right? You are being described of who you are, and the angel say, wow, I know your works. I know how you have endured. I know how you have persevered. I know you have labored, all right, for my name's sake, and you never become weary in what you are doing. Well, how many of you like you could be commended, on that day? Wow, the Church of Ephesus. Wow, the Church of every nation, Melbourne. All right, now. So I want to say that three things, three things I want to talk about, the church officers, three P's, three P's that will help us to remember, The first P is the word passion. This church of Ephesus, full of passion, because the way the angel has, the message that came to the angel has described the church of Ephesus. As I talk about this church of Ephesus, I also will tell you some of my stories, how I began and all those, the passion, that was in me. All right, now, when we talk about the church of Ephesus, a church that is full of passion, and they were so on fire for God. How many of you are still on fire, fire of God? Wow, all right. Some of you are to be shy. If you raise your hand like this, it's called a chicken wing. Chicken wing. All right, now, this chicken wing. All right, now. So the city of Ephesus, is among the first church that was addressed, among the seven letters. The city was located in the largest, is among the largest city in the Roman Empire and in the province of Asia. At the end of the first century, it became one of the most thriving seaport of the world. In Malaysia, when we heard about going to Australia, they will say, Melbourne. They will come, to Melbourne, all right, now. So it's also a city that is almost 300,000 people, and there are a large city amphitheater, probably can seat about 24,000. Over here will be the what? So the church of Ephesus was on, it was a high profile church, during that time, all right? So it was so known, of the temple of Artemis, all right? So in that sense, if you read Acts chapter 19, there are two significant events that took place. One was the seventh son of Sceva. All right, now, some of you may read this before. So during that time in chapter 11, God doing extraordinary miracles in the hands of Paul. In other words, Paul, even he took out his handkerchief, could heal. So you could just see miracles by the apron, by the handkerchief. How many of you guys still using handkerchief? Okay, just two. So just two miracles. All right, but that came some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, all right, and they are known as the seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva. So with that, they saw the power of Holy Spirit, and they wanted to cast out demons, all right? And then here comes, when they come engage with the evil spirit, the evil spirit said this: Jesus, I know, Paul, I recognize, who are you? I love durian. So I go back to the same store, to buy durian. This durian guy do not know Christ, but he knew that I'm a pastor. So many times I go there, he will ask me, oh, pastor, have you seen ghosts? The first round, I did not reply him because I'm trying to gauge which angle he's coming from. But the second year, the season came back, I went there, he still asked me the same question. Pastor, have you seen ghosts? Oh, this time I took the courage, let's engage in the spiritual conversation. I've not seen ghosts, but I've seen the manifestation of the ghosts, right? The medieval spirit. He was looking at me. Whoa. You know why? Because in my place, they involve in buying, they are gambling. They love gambling. They like to buy numbers. So when they see ghosts, they want to ask for the number, the 4-digit number, all right? So they'll ask me, Pastor, when you see the ghost, quickly give us a call. We will come. All right. Let's move on now. Okay, let's move on. Because I have cast out demons before. Okay, now, let's move on. So it come to a place. The second was the businessman by the name of Demetrius, all right? A silversmith who stirred a riot because they worship the Diana, the Queen Diana. They worship this and they make their silversmith. So they make sculpture and all this as a business. And they sell them, all right? So when they do that, they were angry with Apostle Paul because Apostle Paul came, he turned the city upside down. So some of the scripture that you can read about, it says a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrine of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. Then he gathered together with workmen in similar trades. Man, you know that from this business, we have our wealth. That's how they earn, okay, their business. And then he said this, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul have persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that God's make men are not gods. So Paul came together with the believers of Ephesus. They turned the world upside down. Okay, that was Paul with the church of Ephesus. And now Demetrius said this. Now Paul and the church has caused danger, okay, to the city of Ephesus. How many of you, being a Christian, you're in a working place? In the place that you are living in, you have caused a threat to your company because you believe in Jesus. Oh, okay. Everybody's quiet. Okay, now. And they said this, the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed for a magnificent she whom all Asia and the world worship. That means everybody will come to city offices to worship, okay, this goddess Artemis. But Paul, with the bonus that he has, together with church, turned the city upside down. Now, when they heard this, they were enraged and crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion and rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's companion in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. Friends, when you preach the gospel, and people choose to reject you, persecute you, and want to kill you. How many of you have experienced this? Oh, serious. Friends, I have preached the gospel. I have people wrote letters unnamed. And to stop me from moving in the Holy Spirit. All right? And that is coming from a believer. I've also preached the gospel, okay, to a lady, all right, together with one of the members of our life group. Okay, preach the gospel and do a follow up with this lady. She got so excited about what God is doing, and when she went home and told her husband about Jesus, but instead of talking about Jesus, she was saying that, "Wow, I learned something from Pastor GP today, you know." And I was doing the follow up. The husband got so angry. Who is this Pastor GP? I want to kill him. So my member, who together we led this lady to Christ, came and told me, "Hey, Pastor, somebody want to kill you." So on that day, I was like, "Who wants to kill me?" All right, okay, who wants to kill me? All right, now, I don't know whether you have such threat, but I believe you have your own story as well. But did that stop Paul from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? He did not. In fact, he wanted to go back to the crowd and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when you talk about passion, when you are young, you are full of passion. Yes? How many still young people here? Yes, young people. Okay, all right. When we say young people means no money. But today, this generation maybe not. Today, young generation maybe got a lot of money. Where it come from? Father, mother. All right now. But in my time, together we can. I think a lot of us who are young ones, we are full of passion, but we are without money. All right. And we just love to do all kinds of things. All right. And some of the story that probably you have gone through when you have no money, you want to buy a lot of things. When you got money, you stop buying things because, all right, you know. I remember those days, okay, and I wanted to go out with friends for movies and all those. No money. So what to do? Stay at home. I noticed all my friends love football. Love football. But my mom forbid us, okay, from any of the sports. So I saved little by little, and it was enough money to buy a football jersey. Yay! Today I reflect back. I don't know what club did I... Anyway, but I was full of passion, all right, to do so. Those days when we are young and we wanted to study well, and with the little money that we have, we save money to buy all the reference book that we know. And is with saving those money, all the books that we have was much more than those that the library offer. Okay, that was my brother's idea. All right, so we gave all his money, he buy all the books, because after that, he left it for us to study the next. All right, let me tell you, when you are full of passion, there are certain things that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you're full of passion and you want to serve God. It doesn't matter whether you have a position or not. It doesn't matter whether, okay, I'm the senior pastor, then only I win the loss. When you are full of passion, it doesn't matter. I just want to serve God. You know, those days when I come to know Christ, I came to church, I look at everyone. Wow, this one do something, this one do something, this one do something. So I say, I got to do something. So I want to be an usher. So one of the leaders say, okay, you want to usher, go and see the usher leader. So I went. I went to the usher leader, say, I want to be an usher. So the usher leader looked at me. Okay, next week, you wear a tie and come. I went back home the next Sunday. I took my school prefect tie, you know, the school tie. And my younger sister looked at me. Why are you wearing a school tie on a Sunday morning? Because I'm going to do usher. You know the English we use? You're going to do usher. Then she looked at me and said, okay, do one for me. You got a joke. Okay, now, but it's real. It's real. It's real. You thought it was a thing, all right? It's a thing because we do not know what usher means. Okay, now. When I wanted to become a musician, you know what I did? I wanted to learn how to play the guitar and all those. So I will find a corner in the front row and just exactly the closest to the guitarist. So what I will do is I will stand close to Mike and I will look at every finger that he is playing. And I have a small notebook and will write down. I will draw. Okay, this is D. Okay, after they move there. Okay. When the pastor look at me, I will copy everything. Those days we do not have this. We have those called overhead projector. All right. I will stand close to that projector and will start copying. So okay, when the pastor look at me. Okay, all right now. That was me, all right? That was me. Every song, I will write it down, all right? Because I wanted to worship the Lord. I wanted to play, okay, the guitar for the Lord. Friends, when I first got my driving license, that was age 17 or 18 those days, all right now. I also wanted to drive a church van. You know what I do? I also went to the one in charge of the church van. I just got my driving license. I want to help fetch the kids, okay, to church. All right, next week you come. Wow, that Sunday morning, I almost had an accident. That guy never called me back. Okay, all right. Right, why? Because of the passion in me, because I wanted to serve God. That's why when the angel, okay, when the message sent to the angel, I know your works, I know your patience and all the things that you persevere and all those. But friends, sometimes as we go along, we might lose our passion. That is where as we read on, in verse 4, that's not verse 2 and 3, 1, 2, 3, now verse 4. That's where the message came and said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. In ESV says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had first. Telling all those stories, sometimes when I look back, hey, will you take time to evaluate, okay, where am I right now? Once I love God, and now, where am I now? I love what Kelly said just now, right? 6 months, wow. A time of reflection, okay? And then when you come back, you can, wow, I'll do this one more time, okay, for what God is calling me, okay, to do. Here was like an anticlimax. Here was like a warning. So I want to say the second P is what I call purpose. Why? Because you can have full of passion, but you have no clear direction. You have no clear purpose. Friends, you will die very fast. Yes, all right. Because there are so much challenges in our life, things that we need to commit to. Look at those who are married, work, job, finance, children, so many things, all right, going on in each one's life.
But when you have full of passion, when you don't have a clear purpose, wow, you may just, you know, dissipate off, and your pastor was wondering, how come you don't come anymore? I don't see you anymore, all right? And people don't lose overnight. But let me tell you that for church officers, they have abandoned the first love. They have lost, okay, something in their life, but I will call that purpose. I'm glad that we are all in every nation. Okay, our purpose is very clear. We exist to honor God by being a Christ-centered, spirit-empowered church, engaging the campus and community, empowering every believer to make disciples. In short, we say what? Honor God, make disciples. And get that into your system. Get into your heart. Get into your mind. Get into your bloodstream. So that whatever that you're doing, you know, am I honoring God? Am I making disciples? Whatever you're doing, whether you are an engineer, whether you're a teacher, whether you are a mother, whether you're a housewife, whether you are a manager, whether you're an engineer, whatever you're doing, whether you are playing football, whether you are bowling, whether you, whatever you're swimming, you want to know, I'm very clear. I want to honor God. I want to make disciples. All right, so that will help us, okay, to stir, okay, where you are going. Pastor Ken just ended a series called Word, W-O-R-D. That's Relate Worship, okay, to Lordship, Outreach to Evangelism, Relationship to Family, okay, Discipleship and Leadership Development. The five core values, something that you will die for. That's what Pastor Ken said last Sunday. This, the values that you believe and you will die for, every one of them. But that will also come to you whether you make that decision. You are so clear, okay, about, okay, your purpose, okay, in life. When it comes to worship, worship with all your heart. Worship with all your heart, soul, and strength. When it comes to pray until you cry, until something happens, all right? Now, so when we think about church officers, who was the senior pastor? It was none other than Pastor Ken. Okay, no, Pastor Timothy. All right, Pastor Timothy. Okay, Timothy was the pastor that Paul, okay, ordained or assigned Timothy. Now, his name Timothy is always related to the word timid. Timothy was a timid person. Look at how many times he wanted to give up. And Paul wrote to him and said, I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus. So, Apostle Paul told Timothy, you don't run away. Huh? You don't go away. You remain here. Don't go. Don't give up. You stay here. You remain here. You remain Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which cause dispute rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Sometimes some of us give so many excuses. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. Look at Timothy. He was such a timid person. And he had Paul standing alongside with him to encourage him, okay, to exhort him, okay, to remain. Because he lived in a time where, okay, doctrines, false doctrine, okay, enter the church and all those. He has to remain there to make sure that everyone, okay, believe, okay, in the right doctrine. Okay, a good amen? All right, so don't give up easily. So, as I end, in case, in verse 5, you come to a place, God, where is my passion? God, where is this purpose that I have from the beginning? The message came that says, remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Where was the time you find that? Oh, the fire that I once had. Where is it now? Say, go back to that moment. Because God wants you to be an overcomer, yes? No. He wants you to be more than an overcomer. Just not an overcomer, but more than an overcomer. So remember the point, because God wants to bring you back at that point so that you overcome every one of them. You become more than an overcomer. Number two, he says, repent. Repent means change your minds. Okay, the thinking that you have, you change. Oh, no, I got to turn already and follow Christ. Okay, repent. And then he said, do the first works. What's the first thing that stir you up? What's the first thing that caused you to believe in God? What's the first thing that you serve that changed your entire life? The message says, remember, repent, and do the first work. Good, amen? Yes. So as I end, okay, the final warning that came, that also says that, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. All right. So that's a position that God gave to every one of us. All right. Don't give up. So as I end, it's the word pursue. So if you are so passionate of Jesus, all right, and your purpose is so clear, God's purpose on your life is so clear, the next thing you should do is pursue. Pursue. Don't stop. Don't give up. And to bring the message close, I'm going to tell you this story, and then you're going to pray, all right? Amen. Okay. Now, let me ask you, how many more months to go? Christmas is coming. How many more months? 4 months. But the Bible say what? 1 month. Yeah, 1 month. 1 month. Yeah, I understand that. 1 month. You go to Philippines. It's Christmas time. Okay, but John 4 says that, do not say there are yet 4 months and there comes harvest. We are living in a time, it's harvest time. I'm telling my leaders that this is harvest time. You go to a place, you tell, the problem with us is mental block. To share or not to share. Share or not to share. The problem lies within us. So don't say it's 4 months. Don't say it's 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. The time is short. So with this story, I'm going to tell you this, okay, to bring the message home. Passion, purpose, and pursue. There was this dog in this village. He saw a rabbit. When he saw the rabbit, he became so energetic. His ears stand up and he start to bark. Woo, 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 woo. And he start to chase that rabbit. Woo, 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 woo. Have you seen a dog before? Because you all look stunned a bit. Stunned a bit. Okay, now. So, woo, chase the rabbit. Woo, 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 woo. So as he run through that village, he is not the only dog in that village. So when he was barking, woo, 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 the rest of the dog also stood up and followed him. Woo, 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 woo. So the rest of, woo, 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 woo. As he run and run and run and run and run, so passionate, okay, because of following this dog. Woo, 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 woo. After a while, the rest of the dog got tired. Woo, 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 woo. Complain, you know. They went back. But that dog, he continued to chase after the rabbit. Why? Why the rest gave up? They were passionate because they heard that call. They followed the dog because they thought that was the purpose to follow that dog. But they were not clear. The rest of the dogs weren't clear why they do so. But the first dog saw the rabbit. I need to get that rabbit. So passionate, the rabbit. The rest of the dog didn't see the rabbit. So they wouldn't know. So his purpose was clear. He ran after the rabbit. Friends, I'm not saying that you are dogs, okay? But the story is such that, yeah, through all these stories, it relates to us every day of our life, right? That we are so passionate. Sometimes we lost, okay, that love. Sometimes because of challenges in life, we need to reset, okay, our purpose so that we are clear why we're on earth. And that's the very purpose that everybody is searching. When you know that, wow, just imagine. That's not one Pastor Ken. That's not just one Pastor Kara or Jay or Kelly or any one of you are serving. Just imagine, every one of you had that passion. Every one of you had so clear in your purpose and that you pursue. Every nation of Melbourne will never be the same again. A good amen. Amen. Come on, man. Yes. 2016, we were here. I told Pastor Ken, wow, all new faces. All new faces that you have grown. All right. I also told, I just want to ask, you're now at the 18th year. Right now, you're in the 18th year. Right? Something like that. Penang is now at the 14th year. Okay, I should be learning from you guys. Alright. Right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You learned something today. Amen. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to give thanks. Give thanks for what you're doing in our midst. Every nation, Melbourne. Everyone that's seated here. I believe, oh God, Lord, that some point in our life, the passion inside us was at the peak. But at times come that we draw the challenges, okay, we might have lost then, or the degree of being passionate drops. Friends, if you are here this morning, you can come before God. God, rekindle my first love towards you. Rekindle that passion. For today, you know, you're in a church called Every Nation, where it's very clear, we are here to honor God and make disciples. And probably you say, God, you're saying something like this. Yeah, Jesus, I know this is Every Nation Church. Every single time the pastor leaders keep on talking about honor God, make disciples, but it never get into your system, never get into your heart and spirit. Probably today you say, God, I want to embrace these values. I want to embrace this mission, for that is to honor God, make disciples for the rest of my life. If you are some time ago of your passion, thinking about rekindling your passion, be clear, okay, of the calling and the purpose. I just want you to just raise your hand and put that down. If it's you, all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Some of you probably, let me repeat. So some of you probably say that, God, that passion I used to have, I want that back. If that's your prayer, just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Probably you're saying that, God, now I want to make it so clear that I will embrace this. I'll live every day, okay, honoring you and make disciples. If you are, just raise your hand. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, those who have raised your hand, that is to be passionate over Jesus, have a clear purpose, and to pursue that for the rest of our life. Father, today I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just one more prayer. If there's anyone here, you are not sure of your salvation, you're not sure about, have I believed in Jesus? Have I invited Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior? You're not sure, or you have not. I want to pray with you. If there's anyone here, you're not sure whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. And if there's anyone of you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you as well. Is there anyone here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Give Jesus a big hand.